Thank you. Blessed be God, most holy, glorious, and undivided Trinity.
And blessed be God's kingdom, now and forever. Amen.
Almighty God, to you all hearts are open, all desires known, and from you no secrets are hid. Cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name, through Christ our Lord.
Amen.
God be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. Grant, O merciful God, that your church, being gathered together in unity by your Holy Spirit, may show forth your power among all peoples to the glory of your name. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, forever and ever. Amen. Please be seated for the readings.
A reading from the book of Exodus. Now a new king arose over Egypt who did not know Joseph. He said to his people, "Look, the Israelite people are more numerous and more powerful than we. Come, let us deal shrewdly with them, or they will increase, and in the event of war, join our enemies and fight against us and escape from the land." Therefore, they set taskmasters over them to oppress them with forced labor. They built supply cities, Pithom and Ramesses, for Pharaoh. But the more they were oppressed, the more they multiplied and spread, so that the Egyptians came to dread the Israelites. The Egyptians became ruthless in imposing tasks on the Israelites and made their lives bitter with hard service in mortar and brick and in every kind of field labor. They were ruthless in all the tasks they imposed on them. The king of Egypt said to the Hebrew midwives, one of whom was named Shiphrah and the other Puah, "When you act as midwives to the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stool, if it is a boy, kill him. But if it's a girl, she shall live." But the midwives feared God. They did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but they let the boys live. So the king of Egypt summoned the midwives and said to them, "Why have you done this and allowed the boys to live?" The midwives said to Pharaoh, "Because the Hebrew women are not like Egyptian women, for for they are vigorous and give birth before the midwife comes to them. So God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and became very strong. And because the midwives feared God, he gave them families. Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, "Every boy that is born to the Hebrews you shall throw into the Nile, but you shall let every girl live." Now a man from the house of Levi went and married a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine baby, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she got a papyrus basket for him and plastered it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds on the bank of the river. His sister stood at a distance to see what would happen. The daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her attendants walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her maid to bring it. When she opened it, she saw the child. He was crying, and she took pity on him. "This must be one of the Hebrews' children," she said. Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, "Shall I go and get you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?" Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Yes." So the girl went and called the child's mother. Pharaoh's daughter said to her, "Take this child and nurse it for me, and I will give you your wages." So the woman took the child and nursed it. When the child grew up, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and she took him as her son. She named him Moses, because, she said, "I drew him out of the water." Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Thanks be to God.
Please join in reading from Psalm 124, Antiphony, by whole verse. Those seated on the lector side will read the bold, while those on the choir side will read the unbolded print. If God had not been on our side, let Israel now say.
If God had not been on our side when enemies rose up against us,
then would they have swallowed us up alive in their fierce anger toward us?
Then would the waters have overwhelmed us and the torrent gone over us.
Then would the raging waters have gone right over us?
Blessed be God, who has not given us over to be a prey for their teeth.
We have escaped like a bird from the snare of the fowler. The snare is broken, and we have escaped.
Our help is in the name of God, the maker of heaven and earth.
A reading from the letter to the Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brothers and sisters, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your minds, so that you may discern what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of yourself more highly than you ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. For as in one body we have many members, and not all the members have the same function, so we, who are many, are one body in Christ, and individually we are members one of another. We have gifts that differ according to the grace given to us: prophecy in proportion to faith, ministry in ministering, the teacher in teaching, the exhorter in exhortation, the giver in generosity, the leader in diligence, the compassionate and cheerfulness. Hear what the Spirit is saying to God's people.
Gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew.
Glory to you, Lord Christ.
When Jesus came into the district of Caesarea Philippi, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that the Son of Man is?" And they said, "Some say John the Baptist, but others Elijah, and still others Jeremiah or one of the prophets." He said to them, "But who do you say that I am?" Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." And Jesus answered him, "Blessed are you, Simon, son of Jonah, for flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven. And I tell you, you are Peter, and on this rock I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not prevail against it. I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven, and whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven, and whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven." Then he sternly ordered the disciples not to tell anyone that he was the Messiah. The Gospel of the Lord.
Please be seated. This summer, movie fans around the globe have been asking the same important question: The Odyssey or Spider-Man? Well, not quite as big a cultural phenomenon as the summer we called Barbenheimer, the success of both these films does seem to say something important about the moment we're living in. Some have opined that the endless stream of thought pieces about the Odyssey and the enormous popularity of Spider-Man suggests that we're quietly longing for the days when we all watched the same TV shows and saw the same movies as all of our friends and neighbors, because we had no choice. We didn't have a bottomless pit of streaming options that we could watch by ourselves on our devices. Maybe we're exhausted by the number of choices available to us in the entertainment world, tired of distracting ourselves to death, and we want some shared cultural touch points so that we can actually have something to talk to each other about again. If so, I think that's a hopeful sign. Having shared stories, even when we disagree on what they mean and how they should best be told, is an important way for people to bond. What I've been thinking about, though, is something else that these two films have in common, besides the pretty faces and acting skills of Tom Holland and Zendaya. They are both stories about memory and identity. In The Odyssey, the protagonist has his memory erased, leading to questions about who he is without emotional access to the people he loves. And in Spider-Man, everyone else's memories have been erased about the protagonist, provoking essentially the same questions. Additionally, both main characters are in disguise at key points in the movies, because to have their identity revealed would be dangerous or even deadly. I think these explorations of memory and identity are appealing at this moment because so many of us are trying to understand who we are in a world that is changing and moving so fast. When we are constantly bombarded by information and lured into distraction, memory itself can get very slippery and elusive. I find myself asking far too often, did that scandal happen last week or was it last month? Where did I hear that story? And wait, did it happen to a friend of mine or was it something I ran across on Instagram? Can I even remember events from my own life if I haven't documented them via selfie and social media post? Who am I, apart from the persona I present to the world, both digitally and in real life? These are very 21st century questions, but they are also eternal, universal questions. Jesus asks, who do you say that I am? And for once, Peter gets it right. But Jesus doesn't stop when he gets the right answer from his friends. It turns out that knowing who Jesus really is also the key for Peter to know who Peter really is. As in so many biblical stories, an encounter with God leads to a new, transformed identity. Peter is no longer just Simon, no longer just a fisherman or even a disciple. Peter is something new, and yet something God has uniquely created him to be from the beginning, the rock on which Christ will build his church. Let me say as plainly as I can that I think it is vitally important that Christians today are able to answer for ourselves who Jesus is. Arguably just as important now as it was in the days of the disciples, in large part because of how Jesus is viewed in our culture today. Jesus is being used as a political tool by forces of violence and oppression, things that Jesus never condoned. White Christian nationalism has corroded the popular understanding of Jesus, confusing people into thinking that he must have some special plan for our country, our lifestyle, our way of thinking, something that condemns those who aren't like us to lives of less importance, fewer resources, and ultimately more misery. That is not who Jesus is, not in the Gospels, and not in my own experience of faith, and probably not in your experience either. Jesus does not stand on the side of the oppressor. In fact, Peter's profession of Jesus as Messiah probably needs a little nuancing by us, because then as now, people had different understandings of what a Messiah is. So Jesus is the anointed one come to heal us and set us free. And Jesus not only sets us free from personal sin, Jesus liberates us from a reliance on the evil powers of this world which corrupt and destroy the creatures of God, as our baptism service puts it. We cannot be shy about stating that those evil powers include any system that divides and demeans people, that creates insiders and outsiders, that deems some worthy of love and well-being while others are expendable. In the realm of God, in the beloved community, Nobody is expendable. There's a Thomas Merton quote that speaks to this deeper way of being known and loved by God. You've probably heard me say it half a dozen times, but I'm going to say it again. In Merton's words, a tree gives glory to God by being a tree. The full quote from New Seeds of Contemplation is even more helpful. A tree gives glory to God by being a tree, for in being what God means it to be, it is obeying God. It consents, so to speak, to God's creative love. It is expressing an idea which is in God and which is not distinct from the essence of God. And therefore, a tree imitates God by being a tree. What if we were to hear this quote and put our own name in place of a tree? Pamela gives glory to God by being Pamela. Bob gives glory to God by being Bob. Jim gives glory to God by being Jim, and so on and so on. No two human beings, not even identical twins, are exactly the same. God created each one of us with unique gifts, talents, and desires. But let's be clear that God's understanding and love of us is not primarily about what we can do or achieve. That is how the world judges us, but it has nothing to do with God's unconditional and fathomless love. When we consent, as Merton puts it, to God's creative love, we embody more freely and fully our own true identity. The great leap of faith so many of us still need to take is to remember that we give glory to God by being exactly who God made us to be. This, I believe, is a lifetime's work of being and becoming, of learning and unlearning, and of being liberated from shame and fear and ideas of inadequacy. That is where Jesus comes in. The more we know and follow Jesus, the more we will see and know what a fully human, fully alive human being looks like. And so, paradoxically, the more we strive to be like Jesus, to put on the garment of Christ, the more we become fully ourselves. Spider-Man can achieve great things, but it is only when the mask comes off that Peter Parker can know love and connection. Odysseus is unrecognizable to his family and friends when disguised as a beggar, and he can only be fully returned to their embrace when he first remembers and then reveals who he really is. These are good, hopeful stories for our culture to be discussing today. And in the church, we have other shared stories. Stories of a baby set afloat in a basket, an Israelite child who survives only because of deception and disguise, who will one day grow up to lead his people to freedom. Stories of disciples who sometimes seem to get everything wrong, yet who go on to be led by the Holy Spirit and to bring about more good news than they could have asked or imagined. The masks and disguises we put on to get by in the world, to be successful by the world's standards, or maybe even just to survive in a hostile environment, those masks serve a purpose. But they eventually will get in the way of true connection with God and others, including those we love, and even with our own deepest selves. It is never too late to embark on our own journey of discovery, in which by seeking to know God better, we will also learn to know and love ourselves better, and to become the dazzling, unique, beloved creatures God created us to be. Amen.
We affirm our faith with the words of the Nicene Creed. We believe in one God, the Father, the Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, of all that is seen and unseen. We believe in one Lord, Jesus Christ, the only Son of God, eternally begotten of the Father, God from God, light from light, true God from true God, begotten, not made, of one being with the Father. Through him all things were made. For us and for our salvation, he came down from heaven, was incarnate of the Holy Spirit and the Virgin Mary, and became truly human. For our sake, he was crucified under Pontius Pilate. He suffered death and was buried. On the third day, he rose again, in accordance with the scriptures. He ascended into heaven and is seated at the right hand of the Father. He will come again in glory to judge the living and the dead, and his kingdom will have no end. We believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord, the giver of life, who proceeds from the Father, who with the Father and the Son is worshiped and glorified, who has spoken through the prophets. We believe in one holy, Catholic, and apostolic church. We acknowledge one baptism for the forgiveness of sins. We look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Let us pray for the church and for the world.
O God, you give us life. You give us love. You give us yourself. May we give our lives, our love, ourselves to you. We pray for the unity of your church, that we may work together for the good of all. We pray especially for all who exercise gifts of ministry and for all who lead the church, including bishops, deacons, priests, and lay people. Christ, Son of the living God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all people, that their talents and abilities may be put to good use. Bless each in their vocation and work, especially teachers and all who work in education. Bless all students, that each may have the tools needed to help them learn. Christ, Son of the living God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for political leaders of this world, this country, and this community, that they may be compassionate and govern justly. Bless our homes with hospitality and generosity. We pray for our neighbors, our friends, the communities to which we belong, and the places where we work. Christ, Son of the living God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who are in trouble, need, sickness, or any other adversity, and for those who care for them and give them comfort. We pray especially for those on our parish prayer list. We pray for children who are unable to attend school because of illness, poverty, gender discrimination, or other hardships. Christ, Son of the living God,
hear our prayer.
We pray for all who have died. O God, grant us, with them, a share in your heavenly kingdom. Christ, Son of the living God,
hear our prayer.
Lord, transform us by your love. that we may know and do your will, and that we may live and work to your praise and glory, through Jesus Christ, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, world without end.
Amen.
Let us confess our sins to God.
Most merciful God, we confess that we have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbors as ourselves. We are truly sorry, and we humbly repent. For the sake of our Savior, Jesus Christ, have mercy on us and forgive us, that we may delight in your will and walk in your ways, to the glory of your name. Amen. Almighty God, have mercy on you, forgive you all your sins through the grace of Jesus Christ, strengthen you in all goodness, and by the power of the Holy Spirit, keep you in eternal life.
Amen.
The peace of Christ be always with you.
And also with you.
Good morning. Please be seated for the announcements. But actually, if you brought a backpack or book bag or briefcase, or if for any reason you would like a sort of back to school blessing, this is the time to start to come forward, because we will be doing that during announcements today. We had people at the 8 o'clock, so there must be people at this service who want to get a blessing for the beginning of the school year. So while you're getting your courage up to come forward, just a few other announcements. Today, we also have after church today. There's an usher meeting, so if you serve as an usher, hopefully you've gotten plenty of reminders and you know to stick around after church today. We have some new things we need to go over. Also at 5 o'clock, and maybe this is where some of our children and families are, at 5 o'clock today we have pizza church. So pizza church is in room 6 and 7. It's for everyone, and you are most welcome to come and check that out. A lot of other things are in your yellow sheet and in the announcements that we sent out that are quite important. I hope you got a special email, I think it was on Wednesday, that included the digital version of our Reflections magazine. And if you didn't get that, or if you would like a hard copy, we do have these paper copies around and in the narthex, and they're really great, lots of information in here. What we are trying to do with this magazine is, because we send out so many announcements, so many time-sensitive things about something that's coming up that you need to sign up for, et cetera, we wanted to also have a place to kind of reflect back on stuff that we've done, so that it doesn't just go by without us marking it, saying how it went, what's been new and happening in our communal life. So that's this is our fourth issue, and I hope you will definitely take the time to read it. We also have a brief blurb about assisted listening devices. We've added a new system. We still have the old system, the one that you have maybe tried out and gotten used to, that has extra equipment involved in it, but we also have added a new system called AuraCast. And essentially, it's kind of like something like Bluetooth that is on your phone that's connected to your hearing aid, if you have a hearing aid that already has it programmed in. Not all hearing aids do. So it's another option. It's not for everybody. We're learning about it and learning how to use it. But it is, there is information in there about that, and also in the magazine. One other thing that's a little bit time sensitive, we're starting a Wednesday night class about our prayer book and other things that are special about the Anglican tradition, and that is on Zoom. So you'll need to sign up so that you can get the Zoom link for that and also get the reading assignments for that. That's coming up in early September. Tomorrow night, we have a Davis Interfaith Association meeting, and that's happening at St. James Catholic Church, and we're having a panel about social justice in various faith traditions. I'll be one of the speakers for that. And also happening this week, we have a couple of memorial services. We have the Bishop Jerry Lamb service is at the cathedral. You're welcome to go to that in person or to come here to watch a live stream. And then on Saturday, we'll also be holding the funeral for our own parishioner, Jean Lyon. All of that information is also on your yellow sheet. Okay, it looks like I might have a couple of people who want their blessing. Come on, I love this. And we have special stickers for people who come forward. So, you know, if you want a sticker, you gotta do that. Okay, the blessing is in here somewhere on page 6. Okay, so you can follow. Oh, here we go. This is good. All right. All right, you guys ready? Let us pray. God of wisdom, we give you thanks for schools and classrooms and for the teachers and students who fill them each day. We thank you for this new beginning, for new books and new ideas. We thank you for sharpened pencils, pointy crayons, and crisp blank pages waiting to be filled. We thank you for the gift of making mistakes and trying again. Help us to remember that asking the right questions is often as important as giving the right answers. Today, we give you thanks for these teachers and students and all who contribute to the education of young minds. We ask you to bless them with curiosity, understanding, and respect. May their backpacks, book bags, and briefcases be a sign to them that they have everything they need to learn and grow this school year and in life. May they be guided by your love. All this we ask in the name of Jesus, who taught by story and example your great love for us. Amen. Thank you. Don't leave until you've gotten a sticker. What if I give you guys a couple of stickers and then you pass them on to everybody else? Will you pass down the stickers? And I'll make sure that all the people on this side get stickers too. And while we're doing that, we've got our ushers here. If you are new or visiting, please raise your hand so that we can bring you a welcome bag. They have the magazine in them, they have some information about the church, and they have chocolate, so please don't be shy, raise your hand. I see some already. Go ahead, back there. And are there celebrations or milestones that we want to share today before we move on? We didn't get any sent in, so it's just a quiet time, I guess, but we are celebrating for sure the wonderful rolling beginning of the school year. Some of you have already started school, or your kids have. I know Woodland started a while ago. Some are just getting ready, and some, if you're going to UC Davis, you have a few weeks yet. But this is that time of year, so it's good to be here with you for that. Libba. Three birthdays. Okay. Okay, so if okay, I hope they're not listening. I hope they're not watching. There's a surprise party. Okay, so we have three birthdays in the brothers family, Harriet. Your daughter and your son both have birthdays. Yes.
Our son-in-law has his birthday on Saturday.
Okay, yes. fantastic. Congratulations. Getting to know each other's families and see the Odyssey. I love it. Yes. Another birthday, a five-year-old. Oh, that's exciting. Okay, so we do have a lot to celebrate and share together as a community. So if you turn again to page 6, we say our celebrations and milestones prayer together. Watch over your children, O Lord, as their days increase. Bless and guide them wherever they may be. Strengthen them when they stand. Comfort them when discouraged or sorrowful. Raise them up if they fall. And in their hearts, may your peace, which passes all understanding, abide all the days of their lives. Through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. We'll have communion around the altar rail. If you stand or kneel at the altar rail and put out your hands, we will put the bread into your hand. You can consume it and wait for the wine to come in the cup, or you can leave it in your hand and the Eucharistic minister will intinct it for you and give it back to you so that you can consume them together. You can also cross your arms, indicating you'd like just a blessing or a prayer rather than the elements itself. Our communion bread is gluten-free and vegan, so that we hope that as many of you as possible are able to partake, because all are welcome to receive communion. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and sacrifice to God. God be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give our thanks and praise.
It is right to give you thanks and praise, O Lord our God, sustainer of the universe.
Glory to you forever and ever.
At your command, all things came to be. Shining light and enfolding dark, the vast expanse of interstellar space, galaxies, suns, the planets in their courses, and this fragile earth, our island home. By your will, they were created and have their being. From the primal elements, you brought forth the human race and blessed us with the capacity for memory, reason, and skill. You made us stewards of your creation.
Glory to you forever and ever.
But we turned against you and betrayed your trust, and we turned against one another. Again and again you called us to return. Through prophets and sages you revealed your righteous law. In the fullness of time you sent your Son, born of a woman, to be our Savior. He was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. By his death he opened to us the way of freedom and peace.
Glory to you forever and ever.
Therefore we praise you, joining with the heavenly chorus, with prophets, apostles, and martyrs, and with all those in every generation who have looked to you in hope, to proclaim with them your glory in their unending hymn. Blessed are you, Lord our God, for sending us Jesus the Christ, who on the night he was handed over to suffering and death took bread, said the blessing, broke the bread and gave it to his friends, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this for the remembrance of me." In the same way, after supper, he took the cup of wine. He gave you thanks and said, "Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for all for the forgiveness of sins. Whenever you drink it, do this for the remembrance of me." Remembering now his work of redemption and offering to you this sacrifice of thanksgiving, we celebrate his death and resurrection as we await the day of his coming. Glory to you forever and ever. Therefore, we who have been redeemed by Jesus Christ and made a new people by water and the Spirit, now bring before you these gifts. Sanctify them by your Holy Spirit to be the body and blood of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Sanctify us also, and let the grace of this Holy Communion make us one body, one spirit in Christ, that we may worthily serve the world in his name. Glory to you forever and ever. Pour out your Spirit upon the whole earth and make it your new creation. Gather your church together from the ends of the earth into your kingdom, where peace and justice are revealed, that we, with all your people of every language, race, and nation, may share the banquet you have promised. Through Christ and with Christ and in Christ, all honor and glory are yours, Creator of all. Glory to you forever and ever. Amen. And now, first in Spanish and then in English, we pray as our Savior Christ has taught us. Padre nuestro, que estás en el cielo, santificado sea tu nombre. Venga tu reino, hágase tu voluntad, en la tierra como en el cielo. Danos hoy nuestro pan de cada día. Perdona nuestras ofensas, como también nosotros perdonamos a los que nos ofenden. No nos dejes caer en tentación, y líbranos del mal. Porque tuyo es el reino, tuyo es el poder, y tuya es la gloria, ahora y por siempre. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Save us from the time of trial, and deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. Alleluia. Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us.
Therefore, let us keep the feast. Alleluia.
The gifts of God for the people of God.
Thank you.
Please rise for the post-communion prayer. Let us pray. Almighty and everlasting God, we thank you for feeding us with the spiritual food of the most precious body and blood of your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ, and for assuring us in these holy mysteries that we are living members of the body of Christ and heirs of your eternal kingdom. And now send us out to do the work you have given us to do, to love and serve you as faithful witnesses of Christ our Savior. To him, to you, and to the Holy Spirit be honor and glory, now and forever. Amen. Life is short, and we do not have much time to gladden the hearts of those who walk the way with us. So be swift to love and make haste to be kind. And the blessing of the triune God who made us, who loves us, and who travels with us be with you now and forever.
Amen.
Thank you.
peace to love and serve the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Thank you.